Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Blackhead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Hebert Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, Dusty.
Very cool. Welcome to the show.
Every time I hear that, it reminds me of the Muppets. You remember the Muppets when they all cheered and everything?
But they're cheering you on. See, that's...
Yeah. No offense to us people, but that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. Well, welcome. It's Thursday, April the 6th. And this is All About Wine. See, I decided tonight I'm going to drink a wine as well, drinking a very, very good wine from Florida State's winery. I picked the Strawberry Port, which I just opened for the first time. I don't know why it was underneath the counter. I'm afraid I don't know if I'm abusing it, because you know you have to store it under certain. I mean, some wines you know I see them in chillers, I see them in different things. And I was like, this isn't going to be good, because I don't know. It could be over a year old for all I know. It's sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. I smelled it, and I was like, it smells good. Put it in the glass, and you know, took a little sip, and I go, oh yeah, this is still good. I mean, it's in a dark area under in the counter, and I didn't even know it was down there, but I saw the familiar bottle, and I go, I gotta check this out and see if it's good. So I just opened up the new bottle. Well, I don't know how new it is, but for me, it's a new bottle, and oh man, it's great stuff. I'm like, So
good.
By the middle of the show, your searches might be a little off if I have to research anything. So.
All right, I'll try to have you search at the beginning, not at the end.
Yes. What, it's 18% alcohol? What is it? 14, 18%?
19,
what is
actually. 19, yeah. Well, just shy of 19. 18.97, not 5. Yeah, so just shy of 19. So
I figure I calculate that out about 7:15. I'll be worthless as far as research goes.
That's quick. We need to get right into this. I'm drinking also wine tonight during the show. although I don't have the good fortune of having strawberry port like Mike does, but I do. I picked a bottle of a Ménage à Trois. It is by Foy Adu Winery. It is a California red wine, is what it says, 2015 vintage. It the bottle states, take a walk on the walls side, and it's written in cursive, and fancy cursive, and I'm having trouble reading it. Take a walk on the wall side and enjoy the pleasures of our Ménage à Trois. Surrender to the distinct seduction of dark, rich berry with a hint of pepper. A lush, lingering finish. Leaving you wanting for more, or wishing for more. Boy, I had a hard time reading that. And I can read cursive. That's on the front. That's on the front of the bottle. The back of the bottle says, California red wine. Fresh, ripe, jam-like fruit that is the calling card of California wine. Forward, silky, soft, and approachable. I always love that when they say approachable wine. Is that approachable? A delightful blend based on three varietals, Zinfandel, Merlot, and Cabernet Sauvignon. www.menagetroiswines.com. Yeah, it's nice. I've had this before. It is really nice. It was on sale, and so I picked it up. Actually less than $10, $9.99 on sale. So,
Gosh.
Yeah, and it's nice. It really is. I've always enjoyed this. It's a young wine, but it's got some nice flavors to it and nice fruitiness. And it's really distinct for a, actually it's usually about $11, $12 something. I think they knocked off $3 off of it. So $12.99 average. But it's good. And I need to take a sip now after talking about it.
Sure. I'm looking at their website now. As soon as you talk about with the cursive writing, that's even hard to read in the way they have it printed on here. I couldn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's a little difficult to read it the way they have it.
Yeah. California red wine. Okay.
California red wine. Yeah, they have a whole bunch of them out there, and California red is always good. It's always a nice blend. Blends are so popular now, anyway. So,
okay.
couple came in today. Actually, not today. It was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Wednesday. Yesterday. Okay, a couple came in yesterday. They came in with his mother and father for tasting. They mentioned that they were from Kansas. And I go, oh, really, where? And they said that they were just outside of Kansas City. And I said, well, it's the whole state of Kansas is outside of Kansas City, if you want to look at it that way. And they were from, I want to say, but that's not it. I'm losing it right now. I can't think of the town they were in. Leavenworth. I said, they said, you know where that is? And I said, the whole country knows where Leavenworth is. I said, it's federal prison there. I said, so. But they said that they like to go to wineries, and they said one of their favorite is Hollyfield Winery. And I said, yeah. I said, they're very good. I've been there. They've been on my program and all that. And I told them about the program. And as we were going through the tasting, they mentioned a couple other wineries, and they said, his dad said, what was that winery you took me to that was over in Missouri? And they said, well, that was the Haunted Winery. And I said, Belvoir. And they go, you familiar with Belvoir? I said, yes, I am, very much so. I said, I've been there. They've been on the program. They've been on Ghostbusters, or not Ghostbusters. Is it Ghostbusters? Ghostbusters on the Sci-Fi Channel. Ghost Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, my engineer in the background told me wrong. She must be drinking now too. So, So, but it was, you know, we were talking about Belvoir. I asked him if they tore down that one building. Yeah, because that's really, excuse me, that's really what they were looking at, tearing down that building when the Ghostbusters came in there, or ghost hunters, and they were checking the building for ghosts, and they said, as far as they know, all the buildings are still standing. They said the last time they were there, which was just fairly recently, they said that they were expanding the winery itself, the tasting room area and all that. The tasting room area is nice. You walk up the front steps and go through the lobby area, and then the tasting room is, you know, just a little area right straight from the front door. And they said they're going to be expanding that and doing some other stuff there. So, but
wow.
As far as they know, they haven't torn down the building yet that they were going to. You know, they use it to expand and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe when they discovered all those ghosts, they figured it would be best not to tear down the building and wait. No.
Yeah.
No. But it was fun. It was fun talking to them and, you know, talking about areas that, you know, we've all been and all that. So do a little bit of real estate here. And then I've got some local real estate. But first, let's go like we always do. Again, give us a call. Email me. Text me. Well, no, not text me. Email me. In fact, you can't text me because my phone's broken. I don't have a phone now. But get in touch if you're interested in any of these properties, and I will get you in contact with the person or persons who will help you. Vineyard Winery, 20-acre, 12-acre vineyard. 3-bedroom, 2-bath custom home, bonded winery with 2-bedroom rental apartment above the winery. Centrally located in the Fairplay, this is in the Hill Country. Only $849,000. That's a good buy. And, you know, if anybody really is looking for it in the Hill Country, beautiful, beautiful area. Maybe an hour and a half from Lake Tahoe, and just gorgeous area there. Yep, and up in the California Hill Country. LDL Vineyards, 158 acres, plus or minus, with Old Vines Inn and Petite Syrah Vineyard, located in Clement Hills AVA. It says, build your dream house. So it's not, obviously not a house, but just the vineyard. No price, no anything listed. But 158 acres, plus or minus, that's it. Fairly large chunk there. Go up to Washington State, a winery for sale. Walla Walla Airport District, 1,750 square feet with equipment, leasehold improvements, 600 plus allocation list. I'm not sure what that means. Oh, that's probably who they have on their allocation list, maybe on their wine club or something. Case Goods retiring after 15 years, so they've had it long enough to retire. Again, no information. Let me know. Napa Valley Cabernet Vineyard for sale. 20 acres in Napa. $4 million. But, tell you what, 20 acres, you can get about, well, right now, about $4,000 an acre, or about 5 ton an acre in Napa at $4,000 a ton. So you're looking at $20,000, excuse me, $20,000 per acre, and there's 20 acres. So you can have that paid off just in the vineyards within just a few years there. I mean, it's not going to take you long to do that. So. Plantable acreage in Amador County. They're going up north, a little bit of Napa. 160 plus or minus acres. A seasonal pond and creek, which means that when the rains come, you've got a pond and creek, and when it's drought, you have nothing. Old homestead house needs some tender living care. 2-bedroom rental apartment, which will generate $1,000 a month. 1,700 feet elevation, open and rolling terrain. Cleared for crops or vineyard, and or livestock. So you've got all this and 160 acres. Wow, that's a lot there. Only $595,000. Amador County. I said North San Francisco. That's east of San Francisco, northeast of Sacramento. I was thinking wrong there. Amador is, again, over toward the hill mountains of California. This is in Washington, Woodinville, Washington Winery. A profitable 2,800-plus case production winery. 85% plus direct-to-consumer sales channel. High customer loyalty retention. Excellent brand value. 10 years of 90-plus platinum, double gold, or gold awards. Year-end 2016 inventory had future market sales value of $3 million. And then they leave you hanging right there with no price. Next one. Cali Vineyard, Walla Walla AVA. Turnkey production vineyard with shop and equipment. 29 planted acres, plus or minus 8 expansion acres available. Certified groundwater rights, which is really important all the time. Located in Milton Freewater, Oregon, within the Walla Walla AVA. And I said Walla Walla, Washington earlier, and it's Oregon. I was wrong on that. I apologize. I just realized that. And got a, between sinus allergies and getting over a cold, my throat is raw, so I apologize for the coughs all night. Bon Vie, Canton, Texas, B&B. Dreaming of owning a bed and breakfast? Bon Vin is an all-inclusive chateau, private vineyard, winery, and income-producing cottage offering a complete turnkey package. Property includes 4.9 acres with a pond, cover, barn, and storage shed, plus 2.63 acres of additional pasture suitable for cultivar or stock expansion. Outdoor living spaces and abundant decking, perfect for entertaining, custom-built, secluded tranquility. That's in Texas. Again, no price, no information. If you want to know more, get in touch with us at All About Wine, and we will pass on information. Now, I've got another one here. Excuse me. I received a letter in the mail a couple of days ago at the winery from Wilkie Commercial Real Estate Services, and he's reaching out. Everybody's reaching out. I love it when these website people call you up and say, I was reaching out to you today. The cover letter, let me read this to you here. It says, my name is William Wickley. I believe it's Wickley, W-I-K-L-E. I am a commercial realtor here in North Pinellas. That's the county that's got Clearwater and St. Petersburg. I am reaching out to inform commercial property owners in the area about a listing that has just became available in historic downtown Tarpon Springs. Located directly on the corner of Tarpon Avenue and Gross Avenue, this is a unique building with excellent exposure to the ever-growing downtown district. Actually, it's about 6-7 blocks from the downtown district. The property is currently Tarpon Springs Castle Winery, and all the winery equipment is included in the asking price. The building also includes an upstairs apartment with a separate entrance, courtyard for potential outdoor seating, and an outdoor stage for an entertainment as well. The owners are highly motivated to sell, so please do not hesitate to contact me to make an offer. Then he goes on to, give a little bit of commercial for himself. But included with this was a little flyer, has a picture, Tarpon Springs Castle Winery, located at 320 East Tarpon Avenue. It's the now this is confusing for me, and maybe you can clarify this for me, Mike, but this is very convenient. On the one side, it says property overview, and it gives the address, location, historic downtown Tarpon Springs, which again is about 5-6 blocks from downtown. Price, $799,000. Zoning, general commercial, utilities, city, water and sewer. Taxes, $3,513 for 2016. Present use, local winery and residence. Built in 2001. This is additional, located in a high-profile corner with outside patio area for seating. Restaurant potential, license in place. Includes business and all winery equipment. And it has some pictures here showing it and all that. Very tight parking area in the back, I have to say. I've been there, you know, more than once, and it's always very tight. You're parking up and down the streets and anywhere you can find whenever you do anything there. But then on the other side, it says Tarpon Springs Castle Winery for sale. Then the picture, address, price $950,000. Now, why does one side of it say price $799,000 and then you turn it over and it's $950,000? I don't understand why the discrepancy in the two prices.
Same address and everything?
Everything. Includes winery equipment, high-profile corner in downtown Tarpon Springs, owner suite upstairs, 1,142 square feet, downstairs, 3,182 square feet, but basically the same information on both sides, except that the price on one side is $799,000, and on the other side is
$950,000.
I don't know.
Suspicious.
Yeah, that's odd. I just, you know, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take it for the $799,000, you know.
That's right. That's,
you know, if they give me an option here, I'm on this side of the page, not the other. I don't know. But it just, you know.
That's strange. Really,
yeah, I understand that. It's strange. And I don't either. And there's no other explanation. There's nothing else.
Okay.
So I don't know, but you know,
I'm on their website. I don't see anything on there on their website, but I don't know where else I would find.
Wilkie, I guess there's no website for Wilkie either here, or Wickley, W-I-K-L-E, Wickley. There's no website for him either, so all he has an email address. But I don't know. That just seems odd that it's those two distinct. Major difference too. $799,950 is a substantial difference. Over 151,000 there difference. But I've been there. I've been to Castle Winery in Tarpon Springs. Again, they keep on promoting it as downtown Tarpon Springs. It's not downtown Tarpon Springs. It is actually about 5-6 blocks from downtown. It is close to a lot of stuff around there, though. It's the parking area is not real big. I never been there when they were real busy, simply because I probably would not go in anyway because it's so crowded on the parking area. The little area outside, their little patio area outside is nice. It's small. They've got it set up with some nice stuff. The winery inside itself is pretty good size. They've got the tasting room is spread out quite large. And then they've got it blocked off, and in the back is where he does his bottling and everything. He gets most of his juice from California. I don't think they have any vineyards or excess or anything locally. I think they get everything from California. The apartment upstairs, I think that's where they live. The couple came out to the winery before they opened. And talked to us, had a long conversation, said they were going to open up a winery and all that. And we had a long conversation and everything. And I've been down to the place, like I say, a few times over the years. You know, the nice couple, he's a very nice guy. I have an issue with her because she throws some stuff out every once in a while that I totally disagree with, and I say, don't tell that to people because they're going to believe you. You're behind the counter. You know, when you're standing behind the counter, you got a duty to pass on information that's true, not something that you just want to toss out there. So, but it's you know, they said it was built in 2001. I don't know. I don't know if that building is that new or not. It may be. I don't know. But there is something else for y'all to check out there if you're interested in it. You can get a hold of me or email William at Wickler Real Estate, Wickley, W-I-K-L-E, realestate.com, and I'm sure he'll do it. But it says they are motivated. They have put that place up for sale every year since they opened. They have, and you know, it just, they throw a price on it that's high, like this $950,000, which I don't know if it's worth $950,000, but they throw a price on it that's high like that, and they figure somebody one day is going to buy it, and that will give them their retirement, because they're both, you know, and they're, you know, I want to say in their 60s, I don't know for sure, but that will give them their retirement, and so that's what they're actually, you know, they look at doing. And so I think so every year or so, every couple of years, they put it up for sale, and eventually somebody's going to walk in there and have the money and have the knowledge and have the presence to say, yes, that's what I want. And then they're going to buy it. So good luck to them. Yeah, really good luck to them. But I don't know if it's $950,000 or $799,000. I can't figure that out. So let me move on to other information here, things I want to pass on. Got the real estate out of the way. I wanted to tell you about that. And let's see, what's this here? Okay. I didn't clear this out, and it was something that I just brought up here. Let me go back here to what I want and go to. Come on. This one. And go to this. Come on. Where's my cursor? There it is. Okay. This is something that's been kicked around for a long time. And every time they start kicking around, so many wineries start cringing about this. They start going, oh no, here we go again, what's going on? This is listing ingredients, all the ingredients in wine. Now this is from the drinks business, came out a couple of weeks ago here on this, but in an article in the New York Times International Edition, wine critic Eric Asimov said that drinkers should have an opportunity to know what goes into the bottle of wine. They know what goes into their food. I mean, we all know this big thing about GMOs now and how that's affecting food ingredients and how everybody's talking about it and everything. But they don't know what goes into the wine. And so the wine industry has long argued that consumers would find ingredients confusing and maybe even incomprehensible. That may be true, but it's irrelevant, he says. The comprehensive labeling on food, those who want to avoid artificial or suspect ingredients have an opportunity to do so because they know it's there. Why shouldn't they have the same opportunity with wine, he said. Yeah, you know, let me continue. I'm not going to editorialize yet. Says the growing consumer awareness in the U.S. of ingredients that have been in food have created a food revolution, he said, which has prompted consumers to start questioning what goes in their food, what it comes from, how it's grown, how it's taken care of, and all that stuff. And he goes on to say that it has vastly improved both the quality and pleasure taken in food, because people actually know what they're eating now. Yeah, okay. again, I went a little batty when I read this the first time. The blind spot has kept many people, consumers, from asking questions about how wine is made, even though they're super conscious about their food. He says, arguing that processed industrial farmed assembly line wines that fill shelves across U.S. retailers were designed to fulfill, quote, specifications derived from substantial research and the use of focus groups, end quote. Thinking about wine in the same way as food is a significant step toward improving that quality, he argues. Wine and other alcoholic beverages are governed by the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, TTB, which I've mentioned that many times, which is part of the U.S. Treasury, okay, because of prohibition, the three-tier system, and all that other good stuff. Wine and alcoholic beverages are not controlled or governed by the Food and Drug Administration, which is the one that really controls, well, food. So in recent years, there's been a growing debate around this, with some wine retailers and winemakers arguing that many misunderstood ingredients that are used could end up being vilified, which is true. I mean, you know, people, you see the word contains allergens, and this has always been my, well, I said I wasn't going to editorialize, and I can't help myself. In 2013, California wine producer Ridge Vineyards opted to promote transparency and its non-interventionist approach to winemaking by publishing ingredients on its label. This is a click onto it here. Let me see if it takes me to something that shows labels. Yeah, here we go. Their label below is an example of the new Ridge labels, and it shows ingredient A, hand harvested, B, substantially grown grapes, C, indigenous yeast, D, naturally occurring malolactic bacteria, E, calcium carbonate, and F, minimum effective SO2. And that's what his ingredients show. He also has other additions. That says water. When temperatures during individual harvest rise significantly, this varietal can over-ripen quickly before there is time to pick all the blocks. If that occurs, we make a small addition of water to those fermenters to rehydrate grapes that lost water to the vine in protecting it from excessive heat. Egg whites, the most gentle of all fining agents, fresh egg whites have been used for at least 200 years to clarify fine wine and or moderate tannins. And I'm reading this quote here. I'm not any other than just reading it. It continues. Virtually every Bordeaux from the first growth to the simplest wines have been fined with 5 or 6 fresh egg whites per barrel every year for at least 100 years. Burgundy would be the same. For us, clarity is never an issue, but fining can moderate the texture of the tannins in the few parcels of Cabernet Sauvignon that might show excess tannin. The egg whites precipitate and the wine is racked off, leaving any trace of the egg white behind. And tartaric acid. Acidity in Zinfandel, Geyserville being an exception, is an occasion, not as high as would be ideal, but is better than Syrah. To achieve balance in these, in those few parcels, small amounts of tartaric acid, the natural acid in wine, is added. Okay, now that was directly from the labels that he's putting on it now. The Ridge Vineyard Winery. So, let's go back to the thing here. Now, it says that before 2013, before retiring from the company, he admitted that he had hopes to prompt others to adopt labeling. But it only included not only every addition to the wines, but also an explanation of why water and eggs and tartaric acid were added. In the United Kingdom and the European Union, wine is exempt from showing a list of ingredients, although there are, you can voluntarily do it. But allergen warnings must be shown if an allergenic ingredient is present above certain limits. For example, wines from the 2012 vintage onward, which are using egg or milk as fining agents, must give an allergens warning on the label if residues exceed 0.25 milligrams a liter, which is not very much, while the total sulfur dioxide level must be included if it exceeds 10 milligrams a liter for wines bottled after 2005. So that's in England and the European Union. They have that now. We do not have that here in the United States. But the first question is on ingredients. Okay. What are you going to – are you – ingredients is – well, the word ingredients is misleading. Maybe you should add additives. You add sulfites. You add certain things to the wine. It'd probably be more correct nomenclature than ingredients. And – small amounts. Where do you draw the line on what's in there? A glass of red wine contains over 350 different chemicals. We've talked to wineries. Some of these winemakers have brought this up even. A glass of red wine contains over 350 different chemicals. A glass of white wine, over 250. Are we going to list them all? Maybe somebody's allergic to one of these small ones in there that has, you know, a 5 milligram per liter in the wine, and so therefore that could be a problem. You know, you always, this is the thing when you start talking about ingredients and start talking about additions to wine. And when you start also milk and eggs, people are allergic to milk and eggs. Yes, I understand that. And they're also allergic to other things like England glass and stuff that, you know, fish bladders and things like this, they're used for clarifying agents. But these are filtered out before they're bottled. But are they filtered out enough? We don't test afterward to see if there's any in there. I don't think there's a test to see how much egg white might be left. I mean, it actually floats down to the bottom of the tank. It's heavier than the wine. It settles on the bottom. We rack off the top of it. We're not going to get any. Everybody says, no, it's not there. But are we? If somebody is allergic to it, then it may be too much. And same thing with diatomaceous earth is pretty common as a filtration. There shouldn't be any left in the bottle. Diatomaceous earth is all filtered out. It's big enough that it's being picked up by the filters. But you know, you don't know. And back to the milk and eggs and isinglass and stuff like that. Vegans may want to know that this was filtered through that. Excuse me. And this is one of the things, too, that they always bring up when they say this wine contains allergens. You know, it's bad enough that it has the label on there, contains sulfites, and everybody blames sulfites for everything. But when you start putting other things on there, like contains allergens, you're going to have open up a barrel of monkeys here is what you're going to do. Because everybody's going to say, oh, look, I can't drink wine. I'm allergic. What are you allergic to? I mean, just because it says contains allergens, it doesn't mean you're allergic. But the reason they're looking at doing that is because milk and eggs are used as a clarifying agent. So therefore, they think it would be wise to let people know it contains allergens. Well, you know, this it doesn't. It was used to clarify it, and it's filtered out. I know the argument. Maybe it wasn't filtered out. Maybe there's enough there. Maybe somebody can get a reaction. I don't know. But when you're starting to list stuff, where do you stop? Where do you stop what you are listing? Do you stop with everything that's over 15 milligrams a liter,
That's your limit there. If it's less than 15 milligrams a liter, we don't want it on the label. Anything over could cause a reaction. But then again, when a wine is corked, we've talked about this, when it gets that 2,4,6 triclonazole, the reaction in it, a wine becomes corked or barnyardy or something like that. Those are amounts that the mouth can pick up, that we can pick up in parts as small as 5 parts per trillion. 5 parts per trillion. I mean, that's just almost unbelievable that we can actually detect that, but we can. So, I don't know. I think ingredients on wine, unless you want a little fold-out booklet that stretches out to 10 or 15 pages, or that is written so small that you can't read it anyway, then, you know, if somebody really wants to know what's in it, and if somebody's really that curious about it, call the winery. You know, there's websites on every winery bottle. There is phone numbers. You can always punch into the search engine, you know, Florida State's Winery, and you're going to get our winery. There's a phone number. Call. What do you do with your wines? You know, I mean, they'll tell you. Every one of them will tell you. And if you're concerned about an ingredient, or if you're concerned that it might have ingredients, then call them and ask them. And if they say, yes, we do this, or no, we don't do that, then you feel okay to drink that wine. But putting it on the labels, it's going to, yeah, my vote is no. So let's just, you know, I'll leave it there and just say my vote is no. I think putting ingredients on the labels is not going to raise quality, as this critic says. I think all it's going to do is create problems. So, and that's my opinion of that. You know, I see that pop up every once in a while. Whenever I see something like that pop up, I just get irritated again, because, you know, well, we need to keep the people straight. Like every time there's something that they want to keep people, that they don't want people to do, they say, well, it might hurt the children. That's always the reason. It might hurt the children. And everybody goes, oh, we can't hurt the children, you know. And that's always seems to be the catchphrase. And this one here is, you know, people want to know, you know. Oh, well. All right. Little quick thing here. 5 best vineyards to visit. Now, this is the best vineyards in the United States to visit. This is just one person's opinion. Obviously, most of these things are. But this I thought was rather interesting. If you're in any of these areas, the best vineyards in the United States to visit, there are likely hundreds of thousands of them. Actually, there are over 8,000 vineyards and wineries in the country. In America, it makes us the 4th largest wine producing country in the world. But it's something that, you know, people always come into the winery and say, where's your vineyard? And I have to explain to them where the vineyard is. Well, we didn't see a vineyard. Well, here are some of the best vineyards in America that if you want to take a look at them, this is, well, let me see, who wrote this? This is from Travelers Today, from a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago. Travelers Today. So this is Home and Leisure Travelers Today magazine. It says, number one, the King Family Vineyards. It's located at the bottom of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Crozet, Virginia. It's also known as one of the most famous wedding venues for vineyards. The farm is on 327 acres, with 28 acres planted in Petit Verdot vines, also Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Grenier, Chardonnay. It is allotted for the tasting room and other special events. It's one of the most beautiful places for a vineyard in the country. Next one. Time for a sip of wine first. Excuse me. It is really good. It's got some nice tannins. I really like that. How's your bottle of port coming along there, Mike?
Well, I'm not drinking the whole port. I'm just having...
No, good.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I finished this part of it, so, you know, so far so good.
Good, good.
Yeah.
You are drinking out of a glass, not the bottle, right?
Not out of the bottle, no. It's always
poured. Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. Well, you got to be sure. Yeah, second one. Stony Hill Vineyard. This is Stony Hills in St. Helena, California. It's a place where the first Chardonnay grapes in the Napa Valley were planted. The Fred and Eleanor McCree were the founders, and they just tried to make their own Burgundian-style wine with just a touch of oak. And despite the caveats from experts that the couple's plans will not work, they decided to create the wine anyway, and they've turned it into a stunning Chablis-style Chardonnays. The vines can actually be stored in, or the wine, these wines can actually be stored in bottles while preserving their silk and natural taste. So Stony Hill Vineyard, St. Helena. Another one in California, McFadden Farm. This is in Mendocino County. It's been there since 1970. According to Harper's Bazaar, what makes this unique among all the others is the fact that the vineyard has been practicing organic farming and cultivating organic grapes since the beginning, since the 70s. A rarity because so many people have switched over to organic and they've able to keep it organic all that time. The guests to the vineyard are seated with a feast of some of the amazing wines while the owners and winemakers share their stories about their productions and what they've done and over the 40 years plus that they've been in a winery and in business. Another one in California, Sterling Vineyards. This is a beautiful, I've been to Sterling, and this is gorgeous. I've been there for quite some time. Rested above the town of Calistoga in California, Sterling Vineyards has some of the most dramatic panoramic views of Napa Valley. The walkways and balconies along the vineyards are specially made for guests so they can look at the vineyard and the facilities. The tasting room is just a perfect view of the vineyards with the location showing a Mediterranean-style architecture. It is composed of 10 different terroirs that produce Sauvignon Blanc, Petit Verdot, Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, and many others. Sterling is gorgeous. If you ever get a chance, I highly recommend Sterling Vineyards. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking place. And last one, Chateau Grand Traverse. Chateau Grand Traverse is one of the largest and oldest producers of quality wines in the state of Michigan. It was founded in 1974 by Edward O'Keefe. It's considered to be the first winery from Michigan that produced an ice wine. That ice wine was served at President George H.W. Bush's inauguration in 1989. So good for them. Chateau Grand Traverse produces both red and white wines while focusing on high-quality Rieslings all the time. So there's five vineyards you need to visit. I'm sure there are lots that you've been to that you find that were exciting and beautiful and all that, and there are. There are some gorgeous wineries and gorgeous vineyards around this country, and they're just you really can't spend all of your life just going to visit them all, because if you could, I would definitely try. But some just beautiful wineries all over this country. But there's a five from that particular list. This is we've talked about the three-tier system of distribution many times. I've brought it up. We've had some of the guests bring it up and tell us some of the crazy stories about distribution and how they have to have different rooms and stuff like that. They're saying that the distribution system may be changing. Not consolidation is what this article says. Is consolidating for small wineries. And that is really what the article is about more than anything. Liberation distribution, or Lib Dib, excuse me, is what they're calling themselves. Most of the wineries in the United States produce less than 5,000 cases. In fact, I read you some stats on it, how most of the wineries here are so small. But the LibDib announced that they're launching their first web-based three-tier alcohol distribution platform. And they're saying it has a potential to impact distribution in a big way. Now, any licensed producer that wants to distribute can. The catch? They say no catch. Just go sign up and start selling. And if you later want to switch to a different distributor, you can leave at will without paying any fees or fears of franchise law enforcement. That was not a train. That was the door closing next to me, the sliding door. The engineer fixed AC?
Yep.
Did you? Our AC wasn't working, and my engineer fixed it. Good for her. That's the reason we keep her around, switching in fixed AC. The LibDib founder and CEO is a girl by the name of Cheryl Dursey, and she understands the experience of having a small winery trying to get it. She said her family's 80,000 case winery, Chloe LaChance, inspired her to create LibDib. 80,000 cases is a lot. LibDib is licensed distributor in California and New York, but plans to cover all 50 states. It's a new approach to distribution, and not just on wine, but on all aspects of it. Distillery and breweries and stuff like this. The three-tier system has been controlled and ruled by the big distributors for years, with small wineries not able to do much of anything. Because you contact a distributor and say, I want my wine in supermarkets. They say, okay. And they say, we're not going to be able to sell it at the price you're selling it at your winery. And we'll say, well, then no, we don't want to do it. They say, you know, it's not going to sell for that. We need to market it at this price. Well, you know, why would anybody come into the winery if they can get it at a supermarket down the street for $1 less or $2 less? That's ridiculous. Plus, it's our profit margin that they're digging into. Then after a period of time, a month, if it doesn't sell, and a lot of wines from small wineries don't sell when they're in stores simply because people don't know them. You walk into the store and you see a new wine sitting there, the chances of you picking that up over one that you already are familiar with are a fraction of what it should be because you don't know it. That's why in a winery, in a lot of these small wineries, the tasting is so important. That way you have a chance to taste the wine, you know what it's like, you know what it tastes like, and then you buy it. And that's what's so important. When you start putting it in the stores and they start marking them down and stuff like that, people don't know it, they're not going to buy it. So, and after a period of time, they will discount it or send it back to you and charge you for the shipping back and forth and all that. So it's absurd how the big distributors treat the small producers and wineries or breweries or distilleries or whatever. It's not good. It's really the most frustrating part of the business, I think. And most, if you talk to a lot of them, they don't distribute because of that. And the state laws and all that control it. But this LibDib has an extensive online catalog where producers can share their store brand or their brands and stories and tell about them and offer them for sale and what price and all that stuff. Different price because of different tax and cost of shipping might come into play. So they want to know which price they're going to distribute to certain states and set their prices for it and all that. It's a good idea. I like this idea. I like this idea a lot. I hope it catches on. I hope it catches on enough, if not for any other reason than to make the big distributors kick back and take notice that, hey, you know, there are so many wineries in this country, and they're all not barefoot. They're all not, Gallo or any of these other big ones. Most of them are small, and it's nice to get some of these out there now. There's a lot of wonderful wines that we are not able to get and taste because of the distribution system. So this is something that I hope continues. I hope it catches on. I hope it's something that in the future we can start seeing more and more of the wines in the stores and around and all that. Because without the distribution level, I don't know how they're ever going to be able to get out there. One more story here I'm going to tell you because it's almost 8 o'clock and actually my engineer said we got dinner ready. So, and she fixed the AC so I can't make her mad. Happened last week. Yeah, last week. An estimated 200 gallons of white wine as well as fuel spilled when a big rig truck tipped over near the Oakland Coliseum a week ago Wednesday. Or 2 weeks ago, a week ago yesterday. Fire officials said no one was reported injured. The accident happened at about 1:25 p.m. in the afternoon at 66th Avenue and Oakport Street, which is right next to the southbound lines of Interstate 880. Oh, well, don't be talking to me, huh? No, I don't want that. What'd they do? Clicked out of that. Oh, that's a Slim Jim video. I don't want a Slim Jim video. It's going to talk over me the whole time here I'm trying to do this because it won't shut up. And there's nothing else I can do with it. Well, I hate it when it does that stuff.
There's no pause button on there?
No pause button or anything. Every time I try to click on anything around it, it starts, just clicked me over to the Slim Jim site. So.
Wow.
Well, but.
That's low.
Not immediately knowing what caused the truck to overturn, but there was a sharp turn in the area and they think that's what happened. Besides the wine, there was also fuel spilled. Fire officials said the fuel entered a storm drain, prompting a call to the environmental authorities. They shut down the ramp while the investigation and clean was going on. And so far, everything is going like it should and as it should. So 200 gallons of white wine spilled. They didn't say what type or anything, but, it's still sad. I mean, any type of wine spilled, that's sad. So there we go for the night. We don't have anything scheduled this weekend.
Oh, I noticed that.
So, another weekend without. Next weekend we do, but not this weekend. And we got Woodstock coming up in about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And
that's
we just got the date for the San Antonio Art Music Festival. That's going to be October the 28th. And so that has been set. So we're getting things taken care of and getting things progress and all that. And we're good for... Oh, I know what I... Wait. There's more.
All right, we're going to...
Yes. Wait, there's more. What's coming up on the next week so you can drink wine? The days. Tomorrow, I don't have any idea because this just says Easter holiday baking, so get your stuff. National Empanada Day, is that how it's pronounced?
That's good.
All that. Yeah. Latin pastries. National Empanada Day. Empanada Day. Sunday, Palm Sunday. Also, National Chinese Almond Cookie Day is Sunday on Palm Sunday. The 10th, Monday, National Cinnamon Crescent Day. And all of you Jewish listeners, that's Passover begins that day. The 11th, Tuesday, National Cheese Fondue Day. Do they still do fondue? People still do a lot of fondues out there. Or is that something from the 70s and 80s that died? I don't know.
A chocolate fondue, right?
Chocolate fondue, yeah, yeah. Well, they have fountains now, I think, more so than they do fondues. They have fountains.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically the same thing, yeah. The 12th is National Licorice Day. And then the 13th, coming up a week from today, which is our next show, is National Egg Salad Week and National Peach Cobbler Day. So there's your drinking holidays coming up for this next week. And then next Friday, Good Friday, also National Pecan Day. So there you go. I almost forgot to tell you what your drinking days were this next week. I'm sad on that. Sad. So, there we are.
I don't know about the licorice, but the other items sounded pretty good to have wine with. But I don't know what.
Yeah.
Licorice to me is always that. It's just a strange taste.
Strange.
I don't know. I'm not a licorice fan, but it's just.
I'm
just
not
strange.
Real big.
I don't know.
What's licorice made up anyway? I don't know that even.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, we all have ate it, but what is it?
Yeah. Something about either I've had some bad flavors to it or something or different. Maybe there's different flavors, and I've only had the ones that I just can't. No, not good. But,
yeah,
hey, for some people.
I saw.
I guess some people.
You know. Who likes black licorice? And everybody was raising their hands on that. Black licorice, I guess, is the best. But again, what is licorice? I mean, I don't know. Oh well.
Okay. Yeah. wouldn't know what kind of wine goes with it.
Yes.
Everything else can go. Oh yeah. Almonds. I can come up with something. You know.
I guess maybe. Well, let's see. Certain red wines go well with, I don't know, maybe black licorice? I don't know. Yeah. If anybody out there figures it out, let us know.
Yes. You could be the next guest on All About Wine. Okay. We will go ahead and close the show for this week. We'll be back on the 13th of April next week, next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And thank you for tuning in this week. And if you want to be a guest or get more information on the show, we have a website set up. It's allaboutwinebtr.com. You can go there, or you can email allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That goes to Ron. He can answer your questions. And if you want to be a guest, we can get that set up. We call you. It's real easy at the designated time. And you come on the show and do a live thing with us and talk about wine. Talk about your wine if you're in the winery business or vineyard or, you know, in the industry.
Maybe.
So let us know. We've had all kinds of guests. We've had bloggers. We've had traveling bloggers. We've had educators, professors, and people in the
lawyers.
Industry. The lawyers. Yeah.
Lawyers, yeah.
That was an expensive call.
He charged by the minute.
It was $1,800 to retain him as a guest. No, it was really good. I'm, you know, we're really, really glad that he came on here, and it was a very, very good show.
Yeah,
you know, if you're whatever level of the business you're into, you know, give us a call, and we'd love to talk to you and bring you on the air, and you can discuss your products, offerings, or whatever, or just let's talk about wine. So contact us. We will see you all next week. Thanks again, and have a great week. And Ron spelled out some days that you can celebrate with wine, which I think is any day. And, you know, enjoy it, and we'll see you next Thursday. Thanks again.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com
or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.